Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big-time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
On fire, the Oakland Raider offense. 4-3, the Raiders sit after dismantling the Jets at O.co, a 34-20 win. What's going on, everybody? Sean Wally with Sean Boyd on the double here for show 127. The numbers keep climbing, Sean Boyd.
127. Man, that's some awesome stuff. And yeah, you're right, Sean Wally. On fire is the theme of choice. Thank you, Don Newsom, for that intro into our show, because yes, man, there are some things that have been long overdue, and I would say that this is one, Sean Wally, with the Oakland Raiders making their return back to excellence. Man, what a great game yesterday. Beautiful day, 70 degrees at kickoff. I mean, just perfect weather for the fall season, and you know, the Raiders didn't disappoint. The Raider Nation, the black hole, the whole nine. It was an exciting time, Sean.
And you were there fulfilling your duties for CBS Sports, so tell us what you did, how that went, who the analyst and play-by-play crew was for that game.
Well, you know, we had Rich Gannon and Kevin Harlan calling the game for CBS Sports, and you know, I had the awesome honor of being on the sidelines with Alex Flanagan of the NFL Network and formerly of ESPN, and of course doing her sideline duties with CBS, and just a class act all around. And you know, it was just being in the NO.co and you know, having the fans just loving on us and screaming and everything. And you know, it's funny because I don't know, for our listeners who have either grown up with me, know me, met me through Raider Nation, you know, the whole nine, you know, there I am on the sidelines and I get, you know, some of the fans, some of the Raider faithful screaming, "Luda!" And I don't know who in the world they're talking about. And finally, after about the third time that they screamed "Luda," I turn and look and they're talking about me, man. Apparently I look something similar to Ludacris. Maybe you can help me with that, Sean Wally. But, you know, the fans were loving and having fun, and you know, it was a great day for football, and you know, the Raider Nation was live and direct. I can tell you that.
Wow, Luda, huh? You know, you've got him in height. I guarantee you, he is not very tall in stature, but he's got you in the bank account at number one hits for sure.
No doubt about it, man. But you know, getting back to the game, I mean, the Oakland Raiders did what they needed to do, and you know, they spreaded the wealth a little bit. And for those who, you know, had Amari Cooper as, in their fantasy league, it wasn't what you – actually, it wasn't all it was cracked up to be as far as the yardage and the points were concerned. But, you know, that's how good the Raiders are getting, and they're starting to get that respect. You're starting to hear it from a lot of the prognosticators. You're starting to hear it from a lot of networks and teams alike. As a matter of fact, Darrell Revis yesterday – after the game, had nothing but great things to say about Amari Cooper, the type of player he is, the type of team that the Oakland Raiders are. And there are a lot of people that are surprised. And, you know, this is going to be a fun season. I told you this before the show, Sean Wally. This is going to be a fun season. If you are a Raider fan right now, we're at the halfway point. And, you know, the season is starting to – the schedule is starting to be a little more favorable for the Oakland Raiders. And all they have to do is play good, solid football. And, you know, the playoffs are right there. And, you know, it's okay. It's okay, because I know that a lot of NFL fans, and you know, when you say playoffs, they're like, ooh, should you say playoffs as if it's like some type of a curse or taboo? Look, the Oakland Raiders are here now. The Oakland Raiders are playing great football. And they're in a position right now, if the season were to end today, they would be in the fifth wild card spot. So heck yeah, we're going to talk playoffs. And it doesn't matter what anybody says. There's no jinx. There's none of that kind of stuff. It's happening right now. So get excited, Raider Nation. Get excited, fans, for the product that Reggie McKenzie has put on the field, the product that Jack Del Rio has enforced as a coach. Hey, this is going to be a fun time, and enjoy the ride. I'm excited, as you can tell, Sean Wally.
And Derek Carr is one reason to smile for Raider fans. 23 of 36, 333 yards. Not one, not two, not even three. Let's go with four. Four touchdowns on the day. And conversely, not one interception.
Not one interception. And here's the most important thing. He was not on his back. Meaning he wasn't sacked at all. From the second, yes, this is the team, the New York Jets, is ranked the second best defense in the NFL. So let's put this together over the past 2 weeks for the Oakland Raiders. So they played in the San Diego Chargers, the highest scoring offense in the NFL. They wind up beating them. And then the next week, they play the second best defense in the NFL, and they wind up beating them. The sky is the limit. So you're talking about Derek Carr. Derek Carr had a QBR rating of 137 against San Diego and 130 yesterday. Man, seven touchdowns and zero interceptions over two games. I'm outside of Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, who's doing that? And I mean, you know, this kid is special. And, you know, again, Raider fans, get excited about what you have, because, you know, this is one of those once in a lifetime types of deals. We have a franchise quarterback. And I believe in the next couple of years or so, we will definitely be vying for, you know, Super Bowl supremacy.
What in the world went on with the Raiders defense, specifically the stopping the Jets running game, which Chris Ivory had done well in previous games and done well this season? 15 carries for only 17 yards. That's insane. That's hardly 1 yard a carry, just over, barely. And the leading rusher, backup quarterback Geno Smith. So, man, whatever that front seven was doing for the Raiders, it was definitely working.
Yeah, you know, the front seven was doing their job, as you were saying. Of course, you know, with the addition of Aldon Smith, and even though he hasn't done much as far as the stats are concerned, he is definitely there. And of course, Justin Tuck being injured inserts the new rookie Mario Edwards Jr., and he does an awesome job as well. I mean, these guys are flying around to the ball. You know, I had mentioned this before as far as, you know, Charles Woodson is concerned. I mean, you're talking about the defensive player, NFL defensive player of the month for October, leading the NFL right now with five interceptions. And, Sean, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and I will never forget the jokes and the laughs that when we were with Raider Nation Central, and we got a chance to talk with Seahawks Central, and those two, I tell you, those two young men that had that show, and they thought it was funny, and they called Charles Woodson old, and they thought, well, this was just a shot in the dark or what have you. This guy plays like he is a 25-year-old sprinting around and, you know, again, leading the NFL in interceptions. And we can't forget Malcolm Smith. Thank you very much, Seattle Seahawks, for that one. This kid is just phenomenal. And so when you put those things together, it makes it very easy to stop the run, along with DJ Hayden, who's actually coming along as a DB as well. And so, you know, just fun, exciting football is what we're seeing on both sides of the ball in Oakland.
So for those that don't know, who is wide receiver Andre Holmes for the Raiders? Is he for real? And is he somebody fantasy owners should take a look at as a wide receiver 3-4, somebody to have on the bench and play?
Yeah. Well, you know, Andre Holmes has been that third receiver. So you have Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree, no doubt. Then you have Andre Holmes and Seth Roberts, and Seth Roberts is one of the dynamic rookies that has come into play. But Andre Holmes is that possession receiver that you love to have on your team. But every now and again, if you're not paying attention, he can blow right by you. He has great speed. He's 6'4", I believe he's around 230 pounds. So, you know, he's a nice size receiver, and he gets after it. Nice hands as well. And, you know, these guys are loaded, Sean. They're loaded with receivers. And, you know, it's, you know, to answer your question, is he the type to pick up for your fantasy league? You know, I mean, give or take. It just depends on how Derek feels, how he distributes the ball, because he distributed it yesterday. He distributed it to 9 different receivers. And so, you know, his number could be called.
Well, 2 touchdowns yesterday for Holmes. So if you did have him on your fantasy team and actually started him, you are a happy camper on this Monday. And Sean, got to mention the kid from Eastern Washington University, Taiwan Jones, not necessarily getting much love at the running back position, but oh man, a 59-yard catch and run touchdown from Derek Carr.
Yeah, you know, and he was one of those 9 that we're talking about, and this was it looked like a screenplay that was designed for him to get maybe a few yards, and you know, he turned it into something else. He had not one defender, but 4 defenders miss on his way to the end zone. And Taiwan Jones is just a prime example of the type of players that are on the Oakland Raiders team right now. And it seems like week after week, each of these guys is trying to show the other one up and saying, look what I can do. But yeah, Sean, Taiwan Jones was phenomenal in that great catch. And, you know, you're saying the love. I don't know if you noticed this or not, or if you saw this, but to start out the football game at the running back position, it wasn't Latavius Murray. It was actually Taiwan Jones. And so you're going to see a little bit more of Taiwan implemented into the offense, because he is kind of that, you know, that thunder and lightning. When you're talking about Latavius Murray being the power, then you have Taiwan Jones that can offset things with a lot of speed. Should be a lot of fun for the offense.
The Raiders next Sunday get to travel to the East Coast, which is never a fun thing for a West Coast team to do, and take on the hated Pittsburgh Steelers, who are without one of the top rushers in the game, as Le'Veon Bell torn his MCL on Sunday and will miss the rest of the season.
Yeah, that was terrible, a horrible thing to see, Sean Wally, as far as Le'Veon Bell. You know, he's one of the great guys in the NFL. And, you know, I still think that he has a tremendous upside in his future. He's still young, but of course he has to nurse this MCL. And, you know, I'm just hoping nothing but the best for him so that he recovers 110% to be a great player. Looking at this game this weekend at the Big Ketchup Bottle in Pittsburgh, this should be a lot of fun for the Oakland Raiders. They, you know, when they beat San Diego, they said, well, hey, you know, you guys have to beat a team that is, you know, one of the tops in the NFL. And when you do that, we'll start to give you some respect. Well, they smacked the New York Jets in the mouth yesterday, and now looking at the Pittsburgh Steelers. And so the Pittsburgh Steelers, we all know, with Ben Roethlisberger coming back, and, you know, starting to get some of their weapons back as well, you know, this should be a good contest. Now, you know, on paper, you know, you'd probably say, well, there's no way in the world the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to beat the Oakland Raiders hands down. But over the past 5 games, the Raiders have beaten the Steelers 4 out of 5. So this is a huge, huge game for the Oakland Raiders if they can continue to do what they have been doing. And so, you know, I look forward to it, man. I'm excited.
Now, Sean, the Raiders obviously feeling good after that victory. The question is, in the AFC West, can anybody figure out how to beat the Denver Broncos?
Well, you know, I thought that there was a chance that the Denver Broncos could be caught, and let's face it, they still can. You know, I mean, we know as well as, you know, the Seattle Seahawks know as well as anybody, being 3 games down late in the season. Once Carson Palmer went down, things went awry. And so I'm not hoping or saying that Peyton Manning's going to get hurt, but anything can happen when you are playing week after week in the NFL. And so the Raiders are sitting 3 games out. I thought that Green Bay would do their job yesterday, and Denver just upped the ante a little bit. And, you know, it doesn't help, Sean Wally, that the San Francisco 49ers are helping the Denver Broncos as we speak. What I mean by that, Vernon Davis being dealt from the San Francisco 49ers to the Denver Broncos, so increasing their firepower on offense and having not one but two strong tight ends. So we'll see how that goes, man. But, yeah, the Denver Broncos are clicking on all cylinders.
That's right. The NFL trade deadline is tomorrow, Tuesday. Normally very, very quiet in the NFL, but that looks like it might be changing as a few big names are being shopped, and Vernon Davis is one, and he is now a Bronco.
And, you know, for the 49 faithful, you know, something tells me it's not over. So expect something big to happen here in the next day or so. And I don't know exactly what it is, but I believe that there is another trade that might happen. And, you know, it will increase what everybody is believing right now, which is the fire sale that is going on in San Francisco.
That's the voice of Sean Boyd in Elk Grove, California. I am Sean Wally, Tri-Cities, Washington. This is On the Double with the Double S Express. And when we come back, we will switch to the Lone Star State and take a look at the Seattle Seahawks and Dallas Cowboys. Keep it locked. You're listening to On the Double with the Double S Express.
Yo, VIP. Let's kick it.
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds. And since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away. And I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So, guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to Andro400.com. Andro400.com.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Boyd with Sean Wally. And man, we are going right back into it. We will be we're talking a little bit about what went on in Texas, Sean Wally. And, man, it was a close game, but, you know, the Seattle Seahawks came out victorious on this one again.
That's right. Just outside of Dallas, it was the Texas Rangers taking on the Mariners in a slugfest. 13-12, the Mariners hang on to wait. It wasn't a football game. that somehow Seattle managed to come out on top 13-12, scoring the lone touchdown of the game. A lot of interesting drama in that one. It was a heart attack city for both teams' fans, for sure.
Well, yes, before we actually go into the game, we want to send out our heartfelt condolences on wide receiver Ricardo Lockett. Of course, just a tremendous hit that he took in that game. And sounds like he had a concussion. He's got some surgery that he underwent today. And so he is still in Dallas. So we're just praying for a speedy recovery for Ricardo Lockett.
That's correct, Sean. Ricardo did undergo surgery on his neck. Not necessarily any spinal or vertebrae issues. Thankfully, more ligament and disc issues after that huge hit he took covering the punt. And we know he's a speedy guy, and he's one of the reasons he's on the team is for his speed on special teams, being the gunner. And he was just blazing down that field and didn't see the defender in time and just got lit up. Just a humongous hit, one of the worst many people have seen in a long, long time. And thankfully, he looks to be okay. His football season is definitely done. There are more important things like his health and outside of football, his family. And we'll see if Ricardo can come back or even wants to after such a violent hit.
Now, talking about the game and talking about these two teams, there has been kind of a heated rival that has been going on stemming all the way back to 2005. And I joke about this as far as, you know, the riches of Seattle start with Tony Romo and the botched extra point, which catapulted, or the botched field goal hold, which catapulted Seattle to the Super Bowl that year. But over the years, there's been some bad blood between the two teams. And you're talking about Golden Tate a couple of years ago that laid a vicious hit. And, you know, then this hit yesterday on Ricardo Lockett. These two teams don't like each other too much.
No, not at all. You know, even with, you can go back thinking of big hits, Golden Tate laying one on Sean Lee in Seattle a couple years ago. So there is some definite bad blood. And you look at these two teams playing each other year after year, which is odd because they're not in the same division.
And so, which made for a great game. And, you know, I got a chance to peek in a little bit on the game, of course, preparing for the game at O.co yesterday. So it looks like it was a defensive battle. I mean, is that what the result was?
Yeah, it definitely was. I mean, both defenses are decent, if not good. And, you know, with Matt Castle at quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, they couldn't get a lot going, even though Dez Bryant returned to action his first game after breaking his foot. And Seattle's defense really did shut them down for the most part. Your old buddy, Run DMC, Darren McFadden, had a decent game, but he was pretty much the only offense they could muster. And when push came to shove, Matt Castle and crew could not get it done.
So, of course, you know, the Seattle Seahawks have been looking to implement and get the tight end involved, and they did just that. And we're talking about Luke Wilson. Instead of Jimmy Graham, even though Jimmy had a great game as well, seven receptions for 75 yards, but Luke Wilson finding the land of plenty for the Seattle Seahawks, and that is the only touchdown that in the game.
Which, of course, Dallas fans want to even question whether or not that was even a touchdown, because the replays seem to show that Wilson's backside hit down and the ball was at the half-inch line before breaking the plane, but after replay review, the referees stayed with their original call of touchdown. And yeah, now the defending NFC champions are back at 500, 4-4. Things are looking a little bit better after they were 2-4, and some people thought the sky was falling. Some wanted to say Seattle was nothing and they were done, and they're hopefully trying to prove those people wrong. And really, Russell Wilson, you know, it wasn't his best game by any means, but he did what a elite starting quarterback should do in this league. When the game's on the line, late in the fourth quarter, you need to deliver, especially at his dollar figure he is now receiving thanks to that huge contract. a 17-play drive for the game-winning field goal. Three third downs were converted, two in the air and one with Wilson running, his legs being used at the right time. He was making great decisions, and as he said postgame, there was just a will, there was a want to, there was a, hey, we've been here before, let's go get it done.
Now what the Seattle Seahawks need to look forward to are the division rivals that they play against. Of course, Seattle Seahawks sitting in third place in the NFC West, of course, by a few percentage points and a half game to the St. Louis Rams, who had an awesome game beating the San Francisco 49ers to a bloody pulp yesterday, and which is probably what is stemming this fire sale in San Francisco. But where is Seattle now as far as, you know, that I know they're at 500. This was a game that they needed to win. It was close, and you're saying there's a little bit of controversy, but where is Seattle now as far as their psyche is concerned looking forward to the second half of the season?
Oh, they're smiling, happy, other than what happened to Lockett yesterday. Things are looking up, and the defense is back to where it should be. They're ranked second overall in the entire league. The offense, a bit of an Achilles heel, but the running game is where it needs to be, averaging 139.5 a game, which is second in the league. It's the passing that is lagging behind, but that's always been the case. Pete Carroll's teams have always been a run first, and with Marshawn Lynch and Thomas Rawls, Fred Jackson, why not? And you mentioned no sacks for Derek Carr in Oakland. The same can be said for the Seahawks and Russell Wilson, as that offensive line finally played a complete game and kept Mr. Wilson upright. And that was the first time Russell Wilson has not been sacked in a game since Super Bowl 48 in New York.
Well, yeah, which is a great thing for the offensive line to tout right now, not allowing a sack. But Russell Wilson has hit the deck more than any quarterback in the NFL this year by far. And so let's hope that this is a precursor for the offensive line, which was my question, because, you know, the past couple of years in this run of for Dynasty for the Seattle Seahawks, it's been the offensive line. Do you believe that they've turned the corner here as far as being able to protect, or is this just one game?
Well, I think it's always a work in progress with these guys because they don't have a ton of experience. And yesterday was a shock in a way because All-Pro left tackle Russell Okung did not play. So you're missing your starting left tackle, and Alvin Bailey fills in more than admirably, trying to keep Greg Hardy away from Russell Wilson. And by and large, he did that. Now, Hardy did have that one awesome athletic play where he batted the ball in the air and caught it himself for the interception. But still, the offensive line, a work in progress. But as each game goes on, they're getting a little bit better. They're getting more experience, and it's starting to show out there on the field.
Well, here's the big thing coming up on the 15th for the Seattle Seahawks. And, of course, they have a bye week coming up, so this will be great for Seattle. But the Arizona Cardinals will be coming to town. And, of course, that is a Sunday night game on NBC, and that should be a fun one. Carson Palmer and company coming in to flex their muscle a little bit and prove that they actually are the team in the NFC West. How do you see that one turn it out?
A big game on Sunday Night Football in 2 weeks. The NBC crew will be in town, Bob Costas and the like. Man, it's going to be awesome having the full day for the 12th man to tailgate, have a great time, have the grills fired up, the beverages flowing, and then once nightfall hits, it's go time. The big matchup between the defending NFC champions and the Arizona Cardinals, who, as you said, want to prove that they are taking over in the NFC West. And Seattle's going to say, not so fast. It should be a fantastic game. Great players on both sides. Phenomenal coaches. It's the NFL. There aren't too many bad players, bad coaches. There might be one or two here and there, but those two teams don't like each other. Those two coaches don't really seem to have an affinity for one another. So it's going to be great to see Carson Palmer under center for the Cardinals, as that was not the case last year when he got hurt.
So where might you be on November 15th? Will you be at at the Clink working for NBC?
I have yet to hear from NBC Sports, so my guess is no. And other plans may prevent me from working that game as it sits right now. So we'll see if anything changes between now and then. But I think, you know, a Sunday night, why not just have a nice party, throw some good food out, some beverages, and have a good time.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. And, of course, the second half of the season is upon us as we speak. And, you know, there's an interesting schedule for the Seahawks coming up, of course, with we mentioned the Arizona Cardinals on the 15th. And then after that, who knows what team you will face at the Clink when the San Francisco 49ers come to Seattle. And then after that, the Pittsburgh Steelers. And so it's a little bit of an up and down schedule for you. The Vikings come in and then the Ravens. So, you know, it's a strong test for Seattle coming up these next four games.
Well, the thing that is easing up is the schedule. Schedule being more kind in the second half for Seattle as they have 5 of 8 at home and they spend the entire month of November, outside of yesterday, in Seattle because they have a bye this coming weekend. And then the next three games to close out the month are at home, as we mentioned, Arizona, San Francisco, and Pittsburgh, which, Sean, I do know I will be working the Pittsburgh game for CBS in Seattle the weekend of Thanksgiving. And really, if you take a look at it, there are only two top-tier quarterbacks that the Seattle defense has to face, and that's Carson Palmer twice, and then you look at Ben Roethlisberger coming to town on November 29th. Outside of that, it's possibly Colin Kaepernick or Blaine Gabbert with the 49ers, Teddy Bridgewater in Minnesota, Joe Flacco in Baltimore, and Josh McCown in Cleveland, and then you wrap it up the home finale December 27th with Nick Foles with the St. Louis Rams. So not a real daunting task to finish the season, but any given Sunday, so they have to bring it.
Yeah, the big question mark for me for Seattle's schedule is that December 27th game, which is a Fox game, where the St. Louis Rams come to town. And, of course, St. Louis already has the win head-to-head against Seattle, and this could very well be a pivotal game moving forward as far as the balance in positioning for, if it's not the division, a wild card spot. So, you know, those last two games are definitely games that Seattle has to watch.
Oh, absolutely. You can't take anybody lightly in the NFL. And if you do, you're going to get smacked in the mouth quickly, and you're going to either get blown out or you're going to have to wake up, get the smelling salts, and readjust your game plan.
You know, I'm keeping a close eye on St. Louis here, Sean, because of Todd Gurley. I think that, you know, that added bonus is something tremendous. You know, he's something that Seattle didn't face the first time. And so just watching him will be interesting to see how they position themselves moving forward for this playoff run. So we will take a quick break. And when we return, we're going to shift gears a little bit. We talked in some NFL. We'll get to the NBA and what's going on. And also, there was a GP, Gary Payton sighting. If you want to call into the show, you can call it at 888-429-5471. Again, 888-429-5471. Keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on the double with the Double S Express.
Yo, VIP. Let's kick it.
Are you tired of the gym scene in Tri-Cities, Washington? Tired of seeing all those ridiculous gym selfies? If you are ready to work on a better you, Power Alley Performance is the place you can reach your goals. From one-on-one personal training to group fitness sessions, the trainers at Power Alley Performance will help motivate you every step of the way. Trainers DJ and Lamont have a wealth of knowledge and experience that they are ready to share with you. Call Power Alley today at 509-554-4785 and tell them the Double S Express sent you for a complimentary half-hour session. Visit PowerAlleyPerformance.com.
Guys, are you having trouble getting to sleep? Would you like to know the secret to getting a great night's sleep every night? Bruce Feeney discovered this secret, a new, all-natural sleep aid for men. Listen to what he says about it.
Hey, you know, I tried a product recently called Love to Sleep. It was a great product, helped me a lot. Took 3 or 4 days for it to start working in my system, and I fell asleep very quickly and got up rested. And if I got up during the middle of the night, I ended up coming back to bed and fell right back to sleep. I would recommend it to all my friends.
If you, too, would love to get a good night's sleep every night and wake up feeling great in the morning, try Love to Sleep, the new sleep aid for men. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. And because Love to Sleep is all natural, it's completely safe with no side effects or risk of dependency. Go to lovetosleep.com. That's lovetosleep.com.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boy.
Standing in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And the world's gonna know your name. Yeah. Cause you fell with the brush flame. Yeah.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Ludacris. Man.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. Sean Boyd, otherwise known as, apparently some people thought he was Ludacris in Oakland,
man,
but
you know,
who knows how much tailgating beverage was going on there firsthand?
Oh, man, I can tell you there's a lot, you know, because when you're at a Raider Nation tailgate, and man, it's the best of the best. So not only are you having the finest of beverage, but you're also eating good, man. For the life of me, for a city to have the label of being low, and actually that it is true, being a lower middle class city, man, they sure do eat good. It's amazing what's on the grill, man. You see the best in red meat that you could possibly muster.
Well, Sean, two Thursdays ago at Santa Clara, the home of the San Francisco 49ers, you know, I have to say that they tailgated very well, even though I don't like the team and the fans are who they are, but hey, they had the grills, the smokers. I was being offered meat and bacon and sausages, and of course they didn't know that I was a blue and green 12th man faithful.
But see, this is exactly my point. This is the reason why you have to put this on your list, whether I gotta fit the bill or whatever. You gotta come down and see what tailgating is truly like. For you to say that Santa Clara, that was, you know, a little piece of Americana, if you will, as far as tailgating is concerned, you have not tailgated. And I'm telling you, man, when you get to the black hole and you're out there in the parking lots having fun with the natives, because you could wear your Seahawks jersey and they'll still love on you. They'll just explain to you that your team's about to get the crap beat out of you, so why don't you have some of this, you know, steak or prime rib or whatever. But you haven't tailgated until you've come to the black hole in the Raider Nation.
Well, hey, let's figure out a way to get me crewed on one of those CBS games down there, and let's make
gotta
it happen.
Do it. Gotta do it, man, because, yeah, to say that, I mean, gosh, Santa, oh, my gosh. Anyways, man, I thought you guys tailgated up there in the Pacific Northwest.
I didn't say we don't, and the 12s don't. The 12s do a phenomenal job. For a 1 o'clock kick, they're out there 6, 7 a.m., firing up the TVs, the speakers, the music, the grills, you know, just like they do in most NFL cities. Who does it best? Who's to say? Who's been to all NFL stadiums and tested it out? But I'm sure it's pretty similar. The grills are going. The TV's got the football games on. The stereos are blaring. The beverages are being poured. So it's definitely fun to tailgate before an NFL game.
Yeah, you know, I would still have to, after being at all three, man, I'm a little biased, man. I'm leaning towards the silver and black and the Raider Nation because nobody parties like those guys. Win, lose, or tie, it's going down, man. It's going down. You got to experience it first.
I will stay impartial, leave my comments to myself right now. Oh, man, Sean Boyd, there is other games, other sports being played. Well, one just finished up yesterday, and another has sprung anew. It's almost like spring happening in the fall. A new flower has popped out of a bud, and the National Basketball Association is underway, and the defending world champion Golden State Warriors picking up where they left off, winning three in a row.
You know, well, Steph Curry is picking up from where he left off, and, you know, it's been a fun offseason. There's been a lot of talk as far as the Golden State Warriors winning the world championship, and, you know, there's teams from their own division, meaning the Los Angeles Clippers, that kind of slide it and say, hey, man, you know, if you guys would have played us in San Antonio, then, you know, it would have been different. You had it a little bit easy. Then you've got the Houston Rockets, actually, who just won a game tonight. Kudos to the Rockets for winning a game. But they've been talking in the offseason. And, of course, James Harden saying that, you know, he's the real MVP. Just all kinds of disrespect. And the Golden State Warriors come out, minus Steve Kerr, the head coach Steve Kerr, who is having back surgery and is recouping well and should be back with the team soon. But Luke Walton, Sean Wally, is the interim head coach for the Golden State Warriors, and they have not missed a beat. And so they played the New Orleans Pelicans two out of the first three games, and they have dealt a mighty blow to this up-and-coming team. And, man, Steph Curry had 24 points in the first quarter in the first game, wound up with 43 points. And then this last game, he winds up with 53 points and put on the same clinic against New Orleans, scoring 28 points in the third quarter. These guys are ready. And, you know, and defending their NBA title. This is some fun stuff.
I know it's super early. Season just started. But who do you look to give the Warriors a run in the Western Conference in the 2015-2016 year?
Well, not the Los Angeles Lakers, so let's just scratch them out. I don't know what in the world is going on there. But in the West, you know, there are a couple of teams that are up and coming, and we're talking about, you know, the injuries. And I know this is tough for us to take, Sean Wally, but the Oklahoma City Thunder are a team to be reckoned with. Of course, they will be, you know, at full strength with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. Of course, Kevin Durant having some injuries last year, Russell having to take the brunt of, you know, the duties last year at the end of the season, and they didn't make the playoffs, and so I expect them to do a good job. The Memphis Grizzlies will do well. Of course, they're playing the Golden State Warriors. They just tipped off San Antonio Spurs along with the Clippers. And let's not leave out the Sacramento Kings this year. Of course, some good things are happening. George Karl at the helm, head coach George Karl with the Sacramento Kings. So they put some pieces in place. So there are a handful of teams that can actually do well in the West to go up against Golden State Warriors. But out of all of those teams, I would probably say OKC is the toughest team to look at.
Hey, OKC can be in the conversation every year for all I care, just as long as they don't get that title. And every year since the 08-09 season when they were their first year in Oklahoma City, you know, it's almost like the 1972 Miami Dolphins team. I pop a little champagne, celebrate the fact that that team, the former Seattle Supersonics, do not win an NBA title.
Oh, my goodness. That's a good analogy. I like that, man. The popping the champagne, the 72 Dolphins team. Yeah, you know, I'm right there with you. OKC, is as long as they do not win a title, everything is well. And so, you know, I don't care how great of an atmosphere they believe that they have over there. And, you know, they can bring all the greatest players in the NBA or try to bring all the greatest players in the NBA. I just think that OKC does not deserve to have an NBA title after what happened with Seattle. And that's just my opinion. Other people might think differently. I know there are some family and friends in the Pacific Northwest that, just because Seattle moved to Oklahoma City, they feel it's their right to root for Oklahoma City. I just think that it's that's territory divided up there in Washington and Oregon. But, you know, for me, there's no way in the world that I will root for the Oklahoma City Thunder.
You know, Sean, when I was there with the Harlem Globetrotters and had to step foot in that building in that city, it was a little tough to do, but I had a phenomenal time when I got to go to center court, got introduced as then the coach of the Washington Generals, and I got to I don't remember his name. You follow the NBA so much closer than I do, and I admittedly haven't much since 2008. And the San Antonio Spurs were just in town on that Friday night, and this was a Sunday, and we had a matinee game, and somebody for the Spurs hit a three-pointer at the buzzer to beat the Thunder. And I got to basically mimic that and talk about it and tick everybody in that arena off. And in the arena were one Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, and two other Thunder players. So it was pretty awesome.
So let me answer me this then. So of course we've already figured out that we will not root for the Oklahoma City Thunder as far as them winning a title. But Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant were actually drafted by the Seattle Supersonics. Do you ever find yourself rooting for them individually?
I root for Durant, definitely. I mean, he's a phenomenal player. He was a phenomenal Sonic. He was is a phenomenal person on and off the court. The issue I have with Westbrook, if you recall, Sean, he said he did not want to play for the Sonics. And obviously, they didn't care. They drafted him, which was the Oklahoma City ownership and general manager at the time that made that call. And he's been with the Oklahoma City Thunder ever since. So whatever he did or didn't want didn't matter. But his arrogance then carries over to his play and his trash talk today. So I'm not a huge Westbrook fan, regardless of how good he is. But Kevin Durant, absolutely. He still wears Sonics gear every now and then. You'll see him with a hat, a t-shirt, a jersey. And he comes back. He plays in Jamal Crawford's Pro-Am every now and then. So, you know, it's still near and dear to his heart, his first NBA home. And maybe one day he'll play here again.
Well, you know, of course, as you were mentioning, it is early in the season. I'm talking real early in this 82-game regular season. So these teams are looking at their fourth and fifth games. But talking about the Oklahoma City Thunder, where they're at in their actual division, and, you know, they're in a tough division. Of course, the Golden State Warriors, the L.A. Clippers, Minnesota Timberwolves, all undefeated. And then you have the Spurs and then the Thunder all at 3-1. And so the Western Conference, you know, is very heavy in that particular division. And so, you know, we'll see. We'll see what the Thunder can do, what they can bring. And, you know, but for me, it's nothing but the blue and gold. And, you know, the Golden State Warriors starting this season out. And I don't see it any different. I see them making it back to the finals and possibly playing LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers once again.
Well, Sean, we've got some breaking news that we had touched on earlier in the show, courtesy of Ian Rappaport of NFL Media. Mm-hmm. The San Francisco 49ers are benching Colin Kaepernick and giving the reins to one Blaine Gabbert at quarterback.
Well, you know, this is what I was talking about. I was letting everybody know that it's not over as far as the trade deadline is concerned. And, you know, I have some insight. And, you know, it's amazing. On this show, on the double, I explained to you that Jim Tomsula was actually going to be the next head coach. And they were hiring from within. And I did mention Nick Fangio as well as being one of those coaches. And I'm telling you, the scoop that I've got coming down the pike is that they're looking to make sure that Colin Kaepernick does not get injured. Because if he does, they have to pay him that bounty, that big salary that he has. So they have to keep him on ice, which they're doing right now, which means that they're probably on the phones talking to some lowly team that is going to take a gamble on Colin Kaepernick, and they'll probably put another player in as well to do that. So stay tuned, 49er faithful. It's not done yet. The fire sale is just beginning. Oh, my goodness.
How quickly the mighty have fallen for the 49ers.
You know, it's amazing. You know, in Northern California, we talk about Jed York and Trent Baalke as far as their organizational and leadership skills are concerned, and they lack quite a bit. I mean, for you to get rid of a coach that you felt was being harsh to the team, I don't know what the actual reason is. They're not really being forthright and honest with the public, but you know, they're saying that there are some murmurs that, you know, that Jim Harbaugh didn't get along with the team and you know, the team was being divided. Well, guess what? Were they that divided when they were in the NFC Championship 2 years in a row in a Super Bowl appearance? I believe they're in the NFC Championship 3 years. If I recall, I could be wrong, but they were winning nonetheless. And even when they went 8-8 last year with Jim Harbaugh, I don't think any coach in the NFL could have gone 8-8 with the dissension and turmoil that was going on in that locker room. And so for them to go 8-8 said a lot about Jim Harbaugh. And let's face it, he did well at Stanford, comes to the San Francisco 49ers, does the same thing. And where are the Michigan Wolverines right now as we speak? So, you know, the ownership for the 49ers, I don't know if the bulb is not all the way bright. And the elevator's not going all the way up to the top floor, and they need to figure some things out over there, because this was a touted team just 2 years ago, and now it's in shambles, Sean Wally.
Yeah, it's crazy how quickly they can go from the NFC Championship game that you and I had the privilege of working in Seattle a couple of years ago, where it came down to the final minute and Richard Sherman tips that ball away and some guy named Malcolm Smith intercepts the pass to preserve the Seattle victory to send them to Super Bowl 48, and the Niners haven't been the same since.
You know, my biggest question is why would you do it, Sean? Why would you do something of this magnitude? You know that the Super Bowl is in your backyard this year. You know that you just opened up a stadium 3 years ago, and it's this state-of-the-art beauty. You had the chance to take a look at it. And, you know, all of those things being said, why would the 49ers organization, 49ers brass, do what they're doing? You know, it's a big mystery. I just don't understand. I don't understand why they would think that the fans would still be up for that, and why they would continue to have PSLs and have season tickets. It's a big mystery. I don't understand, but you know, I'm not a 49ers fan, so you know, those fans are going to have to deal with this.
Let's go on to show you that Harbaugh may not have been the main problem down there. Granted, his personality isn't the greatest and he doesn't have everybody liking him. But as the head coach, he doesn't have to be everybody's friend. That being said, it'd be nice if he got along with his bosses, and that didn't happen either.
Yeah, he didn't get along with his bosses. There were backroom deals that were being made. There was backbiting within the coaching staff, and that's all I'm going to say about that, which is the reason why you have the coach that you have. Why else would you have not a defensive coordinator, but a defensive lines coach who's never had any coordinating experience or head coaching experience at the pro level? Oh, I'm sorry. He was a head coach over in the World League with the Rhine Fire or something like that. But why would you have that person be the face of your franchise and a head coach? It's just, man, there's so much turmoil over there in Santa Clara that, you know, and they expect the fans to buy into it is the other thing. And it's just crazy. And it's sad that the 49er faithful have to deal with it.
Well, you know, there's issues when they can't even decide on what type of grass to use. They've got field turf on the outside of the football field. And then the field itself is grass, which they can't even get right. What are they on, their third field at least since the place opened?
Yeah, and they've got to get it right. And I believe that they do have it right, but it is weird to have field turf on the outside and natural turf on the actual field. And that's going to be the case for the Super Bowl, for Super Bowl 50. So that should be a lot of fun. But, there's just a lot of craziness going on in Santa Clara. And, you know, it starts by them actually moving from San Francisco to Santa Clara. I just think that it was the biggest joke to ever do that to San Francisco. You know, San Francisco was in line to actually be an Olympic city, but because they didn't have a venue that could actually harbor the track and field and everything, they just said, bah, you know, you guys don't qualify for it. And you don't have, you know, the facilities close by to do that and have everything proximal. So that took San Francisco out of the bidding. So thanks a lot, Jed York and company for taking that opportunity away. And so, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg with what's going on. But, you know, we'll see. Well, again, stay tuned on what's going on. There's going to be more happening with the San Francisco 49ers in the next 24 hours.
Now, Sean, one of the 49er fans, one of their faithful that you happened to see two Thursday nights ago when we worked that game, is a former guy that spent a lot of time in Seattle.
And, you're talking about, you're not talking about Michael Robinson. You said 49er faithful. Ah.
Correct. Somebody you saw in the stands.
Oh, man. You know what?
Roots for the 49ers.
Which is baffling to me because, you know, for one thing, see, you threw me off, but yeah, you're right. I'm thinking that this guy should be an Oakland Raider fan, if anything. He presides in Oakland. That's where he's from. And gave, you know, his greatest years to the Seattle Supersonics. And we're talking about Gary Payton, man. Yeah, so I'm sure that he's down and out right now and wondering what's going on. Maybe he can give the owners a call and kind of whip them into shape. But you had a chance, Sean Wally, to actually spend some time with GP, the Glove. Of course, he came up to Eastern Washington for a gala with one on the double guest, G. Scott. How was that?
Yeah, dinner with friends for the Boys and Girls Club of Benton and Franklin counties here in southeastern Washington, and it was a fun event. A lot of people there supporting the event, and the food was good, dinner was good, the beverages provided were top notch, and you know, G. Scott being there, I think, helped ease Gary a little, because instead of having Gary just speak at a podium, they kind of did a Q&A, which was pretty cool, and then they opened it up to the guests to ask their questions of Gary for a few minutes. And he was, as Gary always was portrayed, open, honest, and very frank. And I think one of the funniest parts was G. Scott asked Gary about the infamous face-to-face, nose-to-nose photo with one Michael Jordan in the 96 finals. And you can see Gary mouthing, speaking, saying something to his airness, and G said, "What in the world were you saying right there?" And with no filter, with no qualms, Gary straight out said, "I said F you." He just came out and said the four-letter word "you," and it was
at the dinner.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, I mean, Gary. The gloves were off, and it was no holds barred, and he was real, he was legit. You know, he took pictures with people for a while, and I was not quick enough on the draw to get up there and meet him and get a photo initially. But then, as we were leaving the event or about to, got stopped by Sarah Murphy of the Boys and Girls Club, and she let me know where the after party was and that. My date and I were invited, so I definitely made an appearance and got to rub elbows with G. Scott, Gary Payton, shoot the breeze with Gary for a minute, let him know our ties to his brother Brandon back in our IBL days when Brandon Payton was with the Portland Chinook, and that we interviewed him on the radio after a game when Portland beat the Tacoma Thunder, and tried to tie everything together, asked a few Sonic questions, and he told me he would be on the show in the near future. So I'm attempting to work that out with his manager, and he was cool to hang with. So it was definitely an experience I'll never forget.
Yeah, you know, of course, Gary, you know, being one of my all-time favorite Seattle Supersonics, and, you know, he brought that brash, he brought that arrogance that Seattle needed to put themselves into the limelight to be one of the top teams in the NBA, and those were fun times, you know, with Gary and Detlef, Sean Kemp, Hersey Hawkins, you know, Frank Borkowski, and, you know, the whole nine, man. It was just an awesome crew. And Gary was at the forefront of that.
Yeah, it was great to have him in town. And, you know, Gary doesn't necessarily want press or want, you know, things to get out, but he was also very generous. He gave a sizable donation to the Boys and Girls Club as well. So good to see that Gary did that. And he spent a lot of time with the kids. They were supposed to be back at the hotel after spending time with the Boys and Girls Club and the kids around 3:15, 3:30, and Gary and G. Scott had a bet on when they would get back, and Gary was like, nope, we're not going to make it. We're going to spend more time with the kids, and sure enough, Gary spent over an extra hour with those kids, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, definitely, you know, and, you know, giving back, you know, as we talk about, you know, Marshawn Lynch and, you know, he always comes back to Oakland and does those things. And there are a lot of players, a lot of NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball players that give back, you know, to, you know, their foundation. And it's always good. And I'm sure Gary, you know, it's not just something monetary. It's something from the heart that he continues to do that, you know, for the community. And so those are the types of people that we look to have here on the double as guests. And, of course, we are working on it, ladies and gentlemen, to have Gary Payton bless us with his presence here on the double, and that should be happening, man, in the next couple of weeks or so.
Now, Sean, there was a second Seattle-Dallas matchup yesterday. Pretty odd that the cities are playing each other twice in the same day in two different sports, but the Seattle Sounders took on the Dallas FC Football Club in the playoffs, the semifinals of the Western Conference, and lo and behold, the Sounders come out on top, win by 1 point, 2-1, with Clint Dempsey getting the game-winning goal in the 87th minute.
Clint Dempsey, U.S. Olympic gold medalist, Clint Dempsey. And of course, he's playing with the Seattle Sounders.
Correct. He's been with them 2 years now, maybe three. Yeah. I think 2 years.
So where does that put the Sounders right now then? What are they looking at as far as the next round? Are they in the championship game, or what's going on?
Well, the first round of the playoffs was a knockout game. Win and you can advance, lose and you're done. And Seattle got a big monkey off their back last week by defeating the LA Galaxy at CenturyLink Field. The first time Seattle got past LA in the playoffs ever. So that was a huge hurdle. Now they're playing what is an aggregate system, basically. It's a little bit tough to explain. You have to dive into it. But from what I understand, Seattle won the first game, but that's almost like they won a half of a game, because now there's a second game that counts for the other half to combine those two to make one. I don't follow soccer enough, but that's as much as I understand. The good news is Seattle was victorious.
Yeah, yeah, congrats to the congrats to the Sounders for winning.
And it counts for half of a game, I guess. I think that's in layman's terms what I understand. But the bottom line is the Seattle Sounders are in the semifinals of the Western Conference with the opportunity to move on to the finals in the Western Conference if they can take care of Dallas one more time.
Well, hats off to the Seattle Sounders, and, you know, hope that they make it all the way and bring another championship back to the Pacific Northwest. That's good stuff, man. So what's going on in the realm of SWX? I know there's some cool things, some high school games coming up and some championships that should be around the corner here.
Oh, a big game Friday night. Just a few blocks, well, more than a few blocks, a couple miles from my house. I could walk there if I really wanted to. Richland High School, Fran Risch Stadium, hosting a playoff game Friday night. SWX will be there broadcasting it throughout Eastern Washington, and it is the clash of the Tri-Cities against Spokane as Richland hosts, I believe, West Valley of Spokane. So it will be, it'll be a great matchup. Both teams are playing very well this year. Richland did awesome in the Tri-Cities and the Mid-Columbia Conference, and we'll see who prevails. And then we go right from that game into Tri-City Americans Hockey, the Western Hockey League, on Saturday night. So a busy back-to-back game weekend for SWX.
Oh, man. Yeah, of course, the end of the season is near for high school. And so, yeah, there's going to be some busy slates for the both of us, you with SWX. And then the NFHS Network will be kicking things off here in a couple of weeks. Of course, high school football is coming to a close here for the regular season, and so don't quite know what my schedule is, but in the next week or so, I'm going to find out where I will be, and yours truly will have color analyst duties, and so it should be fun. You know, it's always a great time of the year, and you know, I look forward to that transition going right into the winter sports with basketball, and so you know, some fun times coming up.
Well, Sean, as you know, I'm not exactly swamped with a day job at the moment. So if you can, you know, drop the proper pixie dust on the powers that be there at the Sac Joaquin section of NFHS and allow the Double S Express to be calling a game live online, that would be amazing.
Man, you know, of course, that's always good, and it's good for our listeners, you know, because they know where to go to catch us for everything else, man. And that's bbsradio.com/DSX. And so, man, it's been a good show, Sean Wally. We talked a little bit about the NFL. Our team's continuing to win. Of course, the Seattle Seahawks 2 in a row, putting themselves at 500. And, of course, the Oakland Raiders at 4-3, sitting second place in the AFC West, looking up to the Denver Broncos. So hats off to both of those NFL teams. We covered the NBA as well. And, man, the Golden State Warriors, I'm so, so proud of. Right now they're down 1 to the Memphis Grizzlies. It's early in the second quarter, so I'm sure things will heat up soon. But, you know, we are, you know, we're moving right along. Unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to talk about, gosh, man, where does the time go? We didn't get a chance to talk about college football. We'll have to do that next week. Of course, the Pacific Northwest doing some awesome things. Oregon, controversial game that they wound up winning. Man, that was something. I think the score was 199. And then, of course, the Washington Huskies put a thumping on Arizona. Yeah, you know, and of course, the man, the Cougars, they had it, but then, oh, man, doggone place kicking will get you every time. So, you know, it was almost batting 1,000 in the Pacific Northwest. Maybe the Cougars will get it back next week.
Hey, and for those people out there, I'll just say this and we'll leave it at that. For those people saying, oh, they cooged it, you know, especially the dog fans, the Husky faithful, well, they cooged it yet again. No, they did not. The kicker made 5 of 6. You show me another college kicker that's not going to miss 1 out of 6.
Well, okay.
Not only that, obviously the pressure was on. But if you want to blame somebody that you might say maybe cooged it, it's Luke Falk. The 2 second-half interceptions, you can't have that happen. The Cougars dominated that game on the stat sheet, on the field. There's no way they should have had 6 attempts at field goals. You put one of those in the end zone, Luke Falk, you win that game outright. You put 2, 3, 4 of those in the end zone, that's a blowout, and you just destroyed the number 8 team in the country.
Yeah, you know, but gosh, you know, the kid made 5 in a row, and then he misses the last one. What else do you call it? I mean, well, come on, man. You're talking about, you know, the Husky faithful and the dogs. And I mean, gosh, I mean, that's what you do. you call it Coogan it. And so, man, they had a chance, and I mean, he made these super long field goals, so this one was almost like a chip shot. So it just seemed like it was a foregone conclusion. And man, it's just tough. It's just tough to see. That's all I'm saying.
Absolutely. You know, the fans were great. They suffered in the monsoon rainstorm and were loud and proud all night. And you could see all the team, you know, on one knee, hand in hand, trying to will that ball through the uprights, and unfortunately pushed it right.
Man, so, you know, but the Cougs are doing an awesome job. And, you know, one more win, and that puts them bowl eligible. And so, you know, they're doing good, all things considered. That they lost the first game to Portland State. Now they're on a roll, and you know they beat some top teams here in the Pac-12. So we'll stay tuned, and it's going to make for a great Apple Cup coming up in November.
Yeah, absolutely, especially with the Huskies firing on all cylinders as they did with the return of Jake Browning at quarterback, a young man from your neck of the woods on the 916. And, man, their defense is doing great things for Coach Peterson, and it was nice to see the offense help them out so much and take out the Wildcats in Seattle.
Yeah, and so, you know, some great Pac-12 football being played up in the Pacific Northwest. And, you know, some awesome college football. Eastern Washington doing their thing as well. And so, man, it's just been a great show, Sean. You know, again, we touched NFL. We touched basketball. We didn't get a chance to mention anything about, and we will do this right now. Congratulations to the Kansas City Royals for winning the World Series. And, man, they did it in fine fashion, beating the New York Mets. And it was just the way that they did it, Sean. It was how they, you know, they came from behind, you know, in a couple of games, and, you know, just showed that, you know, they're the team, you know, actually riding the ship from losing to the San Francisco Giants last year. And that's actually the first time that a team has come back to the World Series after losing the first year and actually winning it the next year. So, again, congratulations to the Kansas City Royals.
And as you mentioned, the World Series, next week we will have Darryl Brown on as one of our big-time guests. He is a former guest here on The Double, and he is a former Major League player and current Major League Baseball scout. So it'll be great to get his take on the entire Major League season, the World Series, and what's to come in the offseason.
Always good to have Darryl Brown on, and, you know, he's going to give us that insight about the Toronto Blue Jays. And, you know, that was one of the teams, you know, I picked those two teams to battle it out in the ALCS, and they did just that. And so, you know, it'll be good to have Darryl on and talk about his perspective on how he's going to look to find some prospects moving forward in hopes that Toronto gets to where they need to, which is the World Series next year. So show number 127, Sean Wally. I mean, man, it has been a damp, wet one all up and down the West Coast, and it looks like it's been that way all around the country, actually, and we need that here in Northern California. So we thank you for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. I'm sure that you are sitting around a nice log fire and maybe having a cup of tea or coffee or whatever, but we thank you for listening to us. As we always say here on the Double, you're not in the game unless you take a shot, and when you take a shot, we hope that it hits nothing but the bottom of the net. This has been a DSX LLC production. For Sean Wally up in the Tri-Cities, Sean Boyd here in the EG Studios in Elk Grove, California, Don Newsom in Paradise, California. You've been listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double.
Yeah, you can be the greatest, you can be the best, you can be the King Kong banging on your chest.
You can beat the world, you can beat the war, you can talk the guy, go banging on his door.
You can throw your hands up, you can beat the